from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Texas, but I've been kind of doing the same thing with because I feel like I spend all summer, okay, formulating, here's the opinion that I have. And then in August, I start to question it. And really what it boils down to, Texas, for me is, why did we so quickly go from never giving Texas the benefit of the doubt to now we're just blindly giving them the benefit of the doubt? Blake Topmeyer, who joins me on Friday, his theory is we just can't forget what we saw in Tuscaloosa. And it's like, I know, and I wasn't pushing back with Blake because, I mean, that was a butt kicking. Like, it really was. But it's like, I also saw the Oklahoma game. I saw the Washington game. Like, I've seen them fart around. And it's like, are we just sure that all of a sudden that they've just got everything figured out?
And,
but it's also, I also admit this, it's also entirely possible we're just recognizing the era that we're in. You can buy a roster, and Texas is always just going to buy a good one.
Yeah. No, I think, look, the fact that Texas ever had the struggles that they had in previous regimes is like almost an impossibility with the talent pool, with the money, with the resources, everything that they've got. I think we've gotten to the point where Texas, I don't want to say always because that's a long time, for the next handful of years, Texas is going to be a regular in the top 10, top 15, right? They're always going to be in the talk for the college football playoff.
Yes.
And I still think that, look, they're minus 230 to make the playoff. Like, this is not, I'm not saying that they're going to miss out on the playoff, but man, 10.5 is a lofty expectation this year. They got there last year, but they played in the Big 12 last year.
Well, that's kind of the other thing.
They didn't play Georgia last year. They played Alabama, and they beat Alabama, to your point. They went to Tuscaloosa. They looked awesome. But they lost to Oklahoma. Still got to play Oklahoma.
Well, again,
now you add Georgia, who is by far the most highly power-rated team in the country.
Well, it also goes back to your boy Brian Kelly. Like, he has acknowledged the key difference between the SEC. And you and I both know the whole SEC thing can get overblown. But the difference is you don't have as many layups as you did in the Big 12. And how many games on Texas's schedule this year can they win and not play well?
Colorado State, UTSA, UL Monroe, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt, maybe Arkansas, because I don't know what Arkansas is going to be on November 16th. Is like, there's part of me that thinks Arkansas is going to be plucky because Bobby Petrino's there.
Well, also, though, like, here's the thing. I agree with you. I think at that point, Arkansas doesn't have a pulse. But you want to talk about the same thing with A&M? Arkansas, like, this was a media day thing that got completely overlooked. But Sarkisian even talked about, he's like, yeah, I think the only thing Arkansas likes more than winning is beating Texas. And they asked Pittman about it, and you thought Pittman would be like, kind of pushback. He's like, yeah, I'd say it's about right. Like, and if they do have a pulse, dreams go to die in Fayetteville, November. I've just seen it my whole life.
And how about this? From a scheduling standpoint, guess who has a bye the week before Texas?
That would be Arkansas.
Ooh, big suey.
Like, let them have enough of a pulse.
That's right. I just, like, and I'm not trying to crap on the Big 12, because I think the Big 12 is going to be a really fun conference this year, but Big 12 ain't the SEC, man. And they do miss, Texas misses Ole Miss this year. They miss Alabama this year. So you miss LSU. So you miss some of the big boys. You miss Missouri. Like, you're missing some of the bigger boys. You still got Georgia. You got Oklahoma. Mississippi State and Vanderbilt. You get the two worst teams in the conference, so that's nice. Who knows what Florida will be at that point in the year in November. Will the attrition finally hit the Gators? Granted, and they'll be coming off of a game against Georgia the week prior. So from a scheduling standpoint, that's a pretty good spot for Texas. But, you know, I talked about this on the podcast yesterday, and I put a question out on social media yesterday. I'm curious your answer on this.
All right.
So there are seven teams.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
There's seven teams at Circa Sports, the casino that I work at, where my studio is here in Las Vegas, and they have shops across the country. They're in Colorado, Illinois, Kentucky now, Iowa, et cetera. So whatever. There are seven teams that you can get plus money or even odds to miss the playoff. Ohio State, plus 575. Georgia, plus 435, excuse me. Oregon, plus 300. Texas, plus 190. Notre Dame, plus 150. Penn State, plus 120. Ole Miss, even money. What bet will you make today on a team to miss the playoff? Those are the odds to miss the playoff. Who would you bet? I said Texas. I didn't say with massive conviction. I would say from the odds standpoint at plus 190, knowing that they have to play at Michigan, they have to play in back-to-back weeks, Oklahoma, Georgia, you got to finish up the season at Texas A&M where, look, I'm a Mike Elko guy, and I think he'll have that team buttoned up, to say the least. I don't know how good they'll be, but I think they'll be ready to go for that game. So I would say from the odds standpoint, Texas at plus 190 would be the one where I looked. Majority of people looked further down the board. It was, you know, James Franklin, I'll believe it when I see it. Notre Dame's always overrated, even though technically they're not. And then Ole Miss was kind of the same thing as James Franklin, like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Okay, so my first thought was, I'm buying the ticket, right? So this is not a binary of, you're giving me these seven teams, I'm picking the one to miss the playoff. Because if I'm just picking the one, you've got to go Ole Miss, right? Because Ole Miss is in a situation where I'm not sure 9-3 gets them in. And they've got a for sure loss probably with Georgia. Then they've got to basically go 2-1.
You're at LSU. You're home to Oklahoma. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the schedule in mid-October to the early portion of November, you still got to go to the swamp, but once again, you get it at a great situational spot where that's where Florida might be the most vulnerable, and you're coming off a bye. So I think Ole Miss at Florida, like, there's some look-ahead lines. I want to say it like under a touchdown. I think Ole Miss probably goes in there and waxes Florida, because I think Florida just might be on their last legs on November 23rd. But yeah, you've got to go 2-2 if you're Ole Miss against LSU,
yep,
Oklahoma, Georgia, and Florida. And assuming they win all the other games, which they should, they'll be a decent sized favorite. So they got to go 10-2, which I don't think is crazy, but. Yeah, from a standpoint of, based off of the odds, that would be your most sure thing. Look, I think you certainly could make the discussion about Notre Dame.
No, you're going the wrong. You know what I want? I want Oregon at plus.
No.
Here's why.
No, not my Ducks, man.
Here's why.
Not my Ducks.
Here's why. Number one, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced Lanning's all that he's cracked up to be. Secondly, all right, I've got. Here's the real question. If they go 10-2 in the regular season, make the Big Ten championship game, lose to Ohio State for the second time, does that knock them out?
I don't think so. I think we're going to get to the point, and I could be wrong, we'll talk about it in December, but I think we're going to get to the point where you can't punish the loser of the SEC or Big Ten championship. Because those teams are going to be so good that you just, like, then we're going to get situations that the conferences don't want to discuss, which is teams being like, well, screw this, man. I don't want to go to the championship game. I get knocked out like Oregon did.
Correct. They'll start.
I love Oregon this year. They have to go to Michigan. They host Ohio State. I have personally bet them in a cross-sport parlay to make the playoff along with the Eagles at minus 110 at plus 154 was the total price. I really like this team. I think Dylan Gabriel's better than Bo Nix in that offense, and they got dudes everywhere. They might have the best wide receiver core in the country, so I would go Ohio State before Oregon at that price, man, plus 575.
I look at that closing stretch at Michigan, November 2nd, and I know Wisconsin's not what they've been, but at Wisconsin in November, and then that just feels like a Jed Fish special to close the season. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you this, because I had Stanford Steve from ESPN on the podcast yesterday, and he had a question for me, and I'll ask it to you. Ohio State has to go to Oregon and Penn State. Which is harder? Which is a harder place to play? Austin, October 12th.
I know Stanford Steve doesn't want to hear this, but the answer is Penn State.
Because, no, that was his answer, too.
Because the reality is there's a lot of whispers in Eugene that they're worried that Allison's going to be half red.
Ooh. Here's my worry and my almost certainty. Penn State's going to be a big noon kickoff. Like, come on, man. Like,
yeah, I mean,
they don't want to hand that off to NBC, and they know it. And I think from what I grab from, was it Michael Mulvihill, I believe, is the Fox PR guy.
Yep.
He was on with Joel Klatt over the summer, and he didn't say it, but he basically said it.
We're taking NBC, that one.
NBC wants Oregon, Ohio State. They've made a trade. And he basically broke down. He said, look, October 12th is really good. And the way it works, as I'm getting really nerdy here, so I apologize. But the way it works is apparently you get the day, and then you get to decide what game you're going to pick. So, like, NBC apparently wants the first pick on October 12th. I'm assuming they're going to pair Oregon, Ohio State up with a big-time SNL. Obviously, it's election season, so that's kind of like, I imagine, going to be like one of their big ones, right? I think Notre Dame might play that day, too.
So the schedule that day is Mississippi State's at Georgia, Ohio State at Oregon, LSU, Ole Miss at LSU. I believe that game's already been scheduled. That's going to be the night ESPN game. And then Penn State's at USC.
Yeah, so if Fox gets the number two pick, which they talked about, they get the non-Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, USC. So the way that he talked about it was like, look, we get the runner-up of that. Now, I guess in theory, USC.
That's Penn State at USC at 9 a.m.
Ooh, buddy. Wake up early. Or they just do Iowa and they say, screw it, we'll just go to Iowa.
Washington at Iowa.
But I think I'm pretty sure we can pencil in Ohio State, Oregon. It'll be Notre Dame at Stanford, Ohio State at Oregon. Probably someone, Tom Hanks hosting SNL, like it's going to be like the NBC day, right? We'll be 3 weeks from the election. Like that'll be kind of their big, big day of the year where they're going to try to have all sorts of ratings. So, but that said, we go ahead to November 8th and you're going to look at that. And Fox, remember, has always has the number one pick.
Yep.
Unless there's a trade. which they talked about. They traded. And if you look at the Big Ten schedule on November 9th, it's Purdue at Ohio State, Maryland at Oregon, Washington at Penn State. Oh, wait, I'm looking at the wrong day. Sorry. November 2nd. It's just, it's going to be a big noon kickoff. Like, Oregon's at Michigan that day, though. So, I mean, that's a good one, too. So, I guess in theory, they could take that. But it's a bummer, but that's Ohio State, Penn State's going to be a big noon kickoff. And I just, if it was a whiteout, I think it would be, I would, my answer would be Penn State. But right now, it's going to be Autzen. Because I think Oregon's better than Penn State.
I think Autzen's overrated. I think it's fair.
I've never been there. So
I think it has this.
I just think Oregon's better. I think Oregon's better than Penn State.
Like, there's just so. I do agree with that. But there's so few great West Coast environments that Autzen is a good environment. But I think it gets overrated just because they don't realize. Like, it's always my argument. It's like I try to explain to people that are on the West Coast, like, it's not an SEC bias thing. It's like, we have nothing else. Like, it's what we do. Like, y'all have things to do. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, USC and UCLA, I mean, even at the peak of USC, I would never call USC a daunting environment, right?
Nah, the Coliseum was always, even when it's...
I mean, like, Oregon State was just weird and still is weird. And they had a really good home field advantage. Rice Eccles, you know, at Utah, you got a really good crowd, and usually there's some weather elements, and
it's just really hard. I'm sorry, it's really hard for 55,000 people to make more noise than 100-something thousand people. Like, and I get it, like, there's certain stadium reasons, but it's just hard.
Well, and let's just circle back to Texas and Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
They're going into a whole new world. And they've got big stadiums. Oklahoma and Texas have big stadiums. No one else in the Big 12 has a stadium like that. No one else has 107,000 people in that conference. So I'm not saying Texas is going to be a bunch of, you know, jabronis and they're going to be 6-6, but 10.5 wins, that's a lot of wins, man. That's a big win total. It's a big win total out there. So, yeah, man, I can't wait. Folks are going over to Ireland soon. We've got less than 2 weeks away. We're going to have real college football games.
All right, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, man. See you.
That is Tim Murray. We are late to get back to the list. Steve will rejoin the program next. We'll get into the list. We got our NBA Cup schedule. We'll tell you when the Grizzlies are playing. Lots to get to from the NFL. Hard Knocks preview. We'll do all that coming up next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
We'll preview it for you coming up next segment. Before we do that, let's get into the list.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
You just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
The NBA Cup.
You just made the list!
Yes, we are starting to get the NBA schedule leaking out piece by piece. The full Grizzlies schedule is expected later this week. I believe perhaps Thursday could be the date, but we do know four games for the Grizzlies because they will begin the in-season tournament. The Kia NBA Cup, or no, I'm sorry, the Emirates NBA Cup will begin with the Grizzlies taking on the Golden State Warriors. That game at Golden State. It will be on ESPN. That is November the 15th. They will turn around and host the Denver Nuggets on November 19th. They will host New Orleans on November the 29th. And then they will play at Dallas on December the 3rd. So the Grizzlies will play on TNT at Golden State on November the 15th. The November the 29th game against the Pelicans will be on NBA TV. That is a 5 p.m. tip. And then no TV, or no national TV, I should say, for the other games. Jonah Dillon over at the Commercial Appeal writes that the Grizzlies are considered the long shot in the group. Right now, the Mavericks at plus 300 to win the group with the Nuggets and Mavericks are both plus 300 as the co-favorites in the group. The Pelicans at plus 340, the Grizzlies at plus 360, the Warriors plus 430. So there's not a huge favorite one way or the other. I should also note, I know the city goes back and forth on how they feel about Kendrick Perkins, but Steve, Kendrick Perkins already took the Grizzlies to win the NBA Cup.
Not next June, but the NBA Cup.
I almost wonder, like, is
Kendrick
Perkins. Is this going to be LeBron's thing? Like, LeBron knows, like, we're not winning titles. We're just going to start racking and stacking NBA cups.
They don't get rings. I mean, is there any, you know, you might get a trophy for the team, you know.
I think there's a financial. I want to say you get $500,000.
There's a financial component, okay.
There's a financial component. I will say this. I'm usually pretty skeptical. The NBA seems to be, like, the PR league. I did think NBA Cup games had a different level of intensity, and the more regular season basketball games you can give me with more intensity, sign me up for. So while I can tend to roll my eyes at stuff like this, I got better basketball for a stretch of four games. So, like, to me, it's like net positive.
And that says an awful lot about the NBA regular season and what it's become.
Particularly early.
Yeah. You know, those, whether it starts in late October, early November, and all the way, you know, we've heard it. We've said it. NBA regular season doesn't start until Christmas Day. And who's going to be on the schedule for those games? You know, there's interest. It's not like, you know, interleague play. I mean, you know, the Western Conference has always played Eastern Conference teams. And, you know, the matchup, you know, it's another Golden State-Memphis matchup. Is it appointment viewing for me? I don't call it that because it's on TV. I'm already intrigued by the matchup. Now, are they going to be more intense for 48 minutes? Okay, sign me up. I'll be on board. Maybe I'm paying attention to it a little bit more and not going in the other room. And okay, now I'm picking it up in the third quarter. Oh, the Grizzlies are up or down 20. Well, nowadays, it's not over necessarily. You've got to stick around.
I think the key for the Grizzlies, if the Grizzlies are going to recapture everyone's attention, Ja has to come out of the gates and remind everyone, like, hey, you wrote me off a little too soon. Which I think he's in very good position to do that, but he's got to go out and do it. I mean, you know what I mean? We can talk about it in theory all we want. The reality is he's going to have the opportunity to either you know, shut people up or remind them, or he'll have the opportunity to, you know, hey, some of the criticism's fair.
You know, the preseason rankings and, you know, MVP favorites and even betting lines, they're a little bit more curious for me this year with Ja Morant, because you're going to see where the thinking is as to where he's at and how that's going to play out. We touched on it a little bit yesterday. I know you touch on it, you know, with Ja Morant. I mean, it's a big talking point, of course, in Memphis. But where are the betting lines going to, you know, where is he going to be? He's going to be top 10 for preseason MVP award. Again, you don't put anything into it, but it's going to kind of tell you a little bit of where everyone thinks he is. And maybe they have a little inside information to say, you know what, I'm hearing good things, so I'm going to move him up on the list a little bit more.
I mean, to your very point, right now he is 10th in the over ESPN bet. Luka and Jokic are co-favorites at plus 350. Giannis, SGA are at plus 500. Embiid plus 600. Anthony Edwards plus 900. Victor Wembanyama at plus 1300. Tatum plus 1500. Brunson plus 1800. Then Moran at plus 2500. He has the 10th best odds.
So he's already in the top 10. I like that. And by the time
this is Vegas numbers. This is not a Grizzly homer. Like, I know,
right.
To your point. Yeah.
So by the time, you know, the preseason rolls around and then you're, you know, within a week or so of the regular season, how much has he moved up on that list? How much, you know, how much, where does that number in 6 weeks compared to present day?
I expect him to kind of come out of the gates quickly. I don't love the bet simply because I think to win the MVP, you're going to have to play probably close to 70 games. And Ja just hasn't proven to me that he's going to be like a 70-game player. But at the same time, like, in terms of value, it's not a bad one. If you're just trying to get the plus sign and hunt the big number, that's, to me,
right.
I suspect by the time you get to Christmas. But this is also another interesting thing that I have. So we used to, you know, to your point, we used to always say, NBA doesn't begin until Christmas Day. What are we going to say now that the NFL has decided Christmas Day is theirs?
I know. yeah. It's interesting the way that's playing out. And does the NBA almost concede at some point? And the NBA has the luxury of, we're conditioned to understand a West Coast game is going to start at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Right? We understand that. I could stay up till 1 o'clock. And, you know, I mean, for a person to put a full day in on the NBA, first off, kudos to you because you've won the family battle on some level. Either you wanted to be out of the room and conversation, or they wanted you out of the room and conversation. But are you starting an NFL game? You can start it at 8. You can start it at 9. You're not starting it much later than that. So you have that late window for one more NBA game. But, you know, I wish the NFL had taken a hands-off approach on that. But it seems like, and I never have looked at this, but it seems like just in recent years there have been more, you know, Saturdays and Sundays, that point in the year where it is NFL territory, and they're not going to blink. I don't know if that's true or not. I might be showing my ignorance there.
So there are legal ramifications. To your point, though, Christmas Day for the NFL, they're not trying to take the – they haven't done what they've done to Thanksgiving yet. They're not taking the whole calendar. So you have Kansas City at Pittsburgh at noon, So 1 p.m. your time. So it's going to be standard, you know, it'll be standard noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, and then Baltimore at Houston, 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central, but they're not doing a night game. So I suspect that the NBA is going to try to program by putting, you know, their two biggest games, the 7 and the 10 o'clock window, to your point. But what we've seen with the NFL is, so right now, college football has, it's like a congressional exemption, or it is, there are legal reasons why the NFL can't invade on Saturday during what we consider the regular season of college football. So it's like usually from Labor Day to the first weekend of December, college football has an embargo. You can't come in on Saturdays. What we've now started to see is as soon as that embargo ends, the NFL starts racking and stacking. All right, Saturday, Sunday, and they just make it the whole weekend.
Right.
I think what's going
to
be...
And it used to be, was it like a gentleman's agreement on some level of, you know what? High school is Friday. The big time college football is not on Friday.
Correct. So that
college football is Saturday. But now, I mean, college football is, and the NFL says, you know what? All bets are off. I mean, Christmas is on a Wednesday. No one's conditioned to watch an NFL football game on a Wednesday.
No, it was what,
our clocks don't work that way.
I was laughing, though, when people are like, they're not going to take Christmas Day. Christmas is on a Wednesday. You think Goodell cares about that? I mean,
we want your eyes. We know you'll be here. Yeah, we're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you think he cares about it? So, kind of, sort of a gentleman's agreement, but really what it largely stemmed from with college football not invading Fridays was coaches wanted to go recruit, watch guys play on Friday nights.
Right. It wasn't just to let mom and dad and relatives go see the high school football games. We need to be there too.
Correct. So, then what, of course, inevitably happens is TV networks start dangling. Hey, you want a feature spot? Like, you're not going to get a feature spot on Saturday, but we'll take you on Friday nights. We'll put your game on ESPN. That's content for us. You'll get a bigger number than you would. And so inevitably, leagues now just kind of cave to that. And so lo and behold, I mean, to me, that's going to be the big question is, when does Goodell decide that's nothing more than a piece of paper, we're taking Saturdays too?
Yeah, and again, I'm always conditioned that I understand, okay, college football season's where it's at, bowl season starts up, but yeah, all of a sudden late, we're going to have Saturday NFL games. But it's just a matter of moving the calendar earlier in the season where you're going to start taking that Saturday. And that's an interesting one, because now you're headbutting directly college versus NFL, and you're in on their territory. And then does a college game come back and say, you know what? You came into our Saturday windows. We're coming for Sunday.
I mean, it feels like an empty threat, right? Because that's going to be the other thing is the first college football on campus playoff game is going to be head-to-head with, I think it's an Amazon Prime game. And it's like, oh boy, that one's going to get swallowed up. But that's the other thing. It's like, yeah, you can, do you think Goodell's shaking in his boots? Like, oh no, college football's coming after me. No, don't do it.
No. I don't know what, I mean, somebody's got to write a book on what would make Roger Goodell shake in his boots, because everything that's been thrown at him, they deflect in some way or another and come out on the winning end of it.
Speaking of the Dallas Cowboys.
You just made the list!
This from ESPN's Field Level Media. The Dallas Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since their star quarterback Dak Prescott was 2.5 years old. The last championship game came on January 28th, 1996. Plenty of fruitless seasons have followed for, quote, America's team, end quote, but the lack of another Lombardi trophy doesn't seem to diminish their overall value. Sportico released franchise valuations for the top 10 NFL teams on Tuesday, and the Dallas Cowboys head and shoulders atop of the list with a valuation of $10.32 billion. They became the first sports franchise to surpass the $10 billion valuation. Forbes valued the Cowboys at $9 billion back in September. So, Steve, this is my question for you. How, I suppose maybe we should wait to see if Forbes agrees. Granted, all these numbers are theoretical. The valuation is going to be, if somebody puts them for sale, what do they get? Like that ends up being, but it's fodder, and we talk about it. But I'm very curious to know, is Sportico is going to be aware that Forbes gave them a number? What happened to raise the price of the Cowboys nearly 10% in 11 months? Because that's a very significant jump. And I'm not saying that if the Cowboys went on the market, they wouldn't get $10 billion. Because what did Jared Harris end up buying the Commanders for? Was it seven? Was it six? If they got six.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
If they got six, I mean, the Cowboys are going to get, you know, $10 billion, I'm sure. But at a certain point, it's like, what am I missing? There wasn't a new TV deal. I know they added, I guess they added some international games. They've added Christmas. But that feels like a significant jump in just 11 months.
You say 10%, but it turns out to be 1.3. You know, you do the math. It's simple. 1.32 billion in less than a year. Do you think the Commanders' sale price enters into that at all? Of like, okay, this is the Washington Commanders going off one of the worst owners in sports, professional sports history in the United States, and Snyder. But you've got the brand, and it's as big as any brand across the globe. And the Yankees aren't even, you know, that close. And that's your legit number two, and it falls off from there. But I sort of wondered, you know, before we went on the air, of talking of like, what is that? What has made Sportico go over, you know, $1 billion? We're not talking 500 million.
Right.
We're talking a billion plus, $1.3 billion difference between Forbes and Sportico. Did Sportico say, you know what, we've got to sort of make a splash here? So people are going to talk about it if we just value them at 9.5. But, you know, I think maybe the last sale goes into that a little bit of, okay, you've got the Washington Commanders here. Now you've got Jerry Jones and what he's done. Part of that article, Jeffrey, was also of, it's the team, it's all the things that are around the team, the stadium, all those things. But it's also his other real estate deals that these ownership groups, think of the Atlanta Braves, think of Steve Cohen with the New York Mets. They're not only buying the Mets franchise and the ballpark, what Atlanta has
around
done.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jerry Jones has done that around Jerry's world.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, because I hadn't considered that. I think you're 100% right. It's the value of the Commanders, because I believe the Commanders were valued before the sale somewhere north of five. And they got whatever, 6.1, 6.0. I forget what the final sale number is.
That Forbes 9 number elevates it to over 10.
Because as much as I can be a media critic at times, Sportico is one of those organizations. When you start putting valuations on things, financial people are very quick to respond. And so that feels like this isn't the type of story that I think they'd get cheeky on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting to see the reaction, you know, from that world over the next couple of days. I don't know if you looked at the entire top 10 list. It's the Cowboys and you know, it's an interesting top 10 list. The Commanders are in at number 10. But for me, is there a team that is too low for you? Because I go with number 9 in the Raiders. I thought they would have been top 5.
So the issue for the Raiders is going to be related to what you're just talking about. So Allegiant is across the street from Mandalay Bay and whatever, the MGM properties over there, which is like, so it's Mandalay Bay, Luxor, New York. That's MGM owns that side of it. There's not really the room. You're not going to build out the areas around Allegiant into that village that we're kind of talking about.
Okay. Yep.
Because in the end, Vegas is going to be its own village, if you will, all the emphasis on hospitality and whatnot. I think also the other issue with Davis is Davis's mother technically owns the team. And there's going to be the question of, when she passes, is he going to have enough money to pay the tax bill and whatnot? I can see where the Raiders are not as highly valued simply because of they don't own the whole market like other NFL teams would, because Vegas is still Vegas.
So I often talk about, well, you know, we've got a book there. Let's write a book about the children, like Mr. Davis and his, you know, the Angelos family comes to mind for me right now. They actually waited to complete the complete sale of the team until after their father passed because of the tax
implications,
and all of that. And I'm sure the Davis family has put that in place as well. But yeah, that you know what he's going to have to pay after his mother passes down the road, and not trying to go
be right. We're not trying to put someone in the ground. But yes, I'm with you. These are real things that are going to happen.
The kid, you know, the Lerner family. The kids don't really. There's one that wants to be a part of the future of the Nationals organization. There are others who don't. So they've dabbled of, you know, hey, let's put the team on the market. You know, some of them want to cash out and get their money.
Well, I think it's related to the
Angelos
thing.
Book of the kids who are born into it.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, I was saying, I think the Lerner thing was related to the Angelos thing because the Orioles technically came in slightly below, like that. That was a story for me that like I made note of because the Orioles came in undervalued compared to what people thought. Now it wasn't a massive difference, but. It was normally what we've been seeing is these franchises just go whatever the number is, they go above it, and they didn't. And I think that kind of scared the Lerners. I was like, all right, I guess we'll take it off. But I think to your point, the one that kind of surprises me that's not in the top 10, the Bears aren't there. Chicago's only got one team.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the other thing is they don't own the stadium, and they've had this whole stadium debate of where's it going to be? Are they going to own their own stadium, whatnot? Like, that's a huge part of it that they don't have the Village. But the fact that Chicago, being as big of a city as it is, and being the only NFL team in town, that surprised me that they didn't crack the top 10.
Is that also a reflection of their of where they're at as an organization, from the top up or top down? Because it seems like they can't get out of their own way sometimes.
I think it's all stadium related. They don't own the stadium.
Yeah.
They don't own the area around it. They don't, like, they have certain plans, but like then the Arlington Heights thing falls through and now they're going back to the city, and it seems to be it's all the uncertainty there. All right, we got to take a quick
break. Did you see that the Oh, go ahead.
Let's
go
talk
ahead.
About the Bears. We got to take a quick break. Let's come back. They're going to be on Hard Knocks. Let's preview tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk Bears when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Of Hard Knocks tonight. We are with the Chicago Bears. You made reference to it earlier this week, and I really think that this season the Bears are going to fall into the category of, I think, teams we're going to talk ourselves into because we're going to get to see them on Hard Knocks. And so last week, the episode primarily featured Caleb Williams and a lot of Caleb Williams. And the thing that's going to be fascinating about this week is we only got Caleb Williams kind of practice highlights, and there's always going to be an access question for Hard Knocks. But we got game footage of Caleb, and he looked pretty darn good. I think this season has a chance to really captivate us because if he continues to play in the preseason and be intriguing, I think a lot of people are going to talk themselves into the Bears for a lot of the reasons we're talking about. They're not going to have a difficult schedule because they have a young quarterback. They've done a good job of surrounding him with legitimately good weapons, and they've got a chance to kind of be that splash team. And I think it's going to be interesting. As long as they keep giving us access to Caleb, I think this is going to be a good season.
Has the potential, and we love potential. Admittedly,
especially
a
quarterback.
Yeah, the quarterback position. We put a lot into the QB potential and what can possibly be. Right now, my appointment viewing is to get up, and it's the first thing I do. I'm going back-to-back episodes 1 and 2 so we can talk about number 2 tomorrow. But that's on my radar for tomorrow morning, to watch the first 2. But it should be Caleb Williams. Yes, we're going to have that storyline, and maybe it's not identified. Maybe it is tonight. That guy who's going to be on the roster bubble.
Yeah.
That they're going to tell that story. I love those guys. I don't care who they are. I love those stories because you get the family angle. You know where they're coming from. You're seeing moms and dads and caretakers and young wives with children. They're part of the process. I love that part of it because no athlete, whether an everyday guy, a superstar, or, you know, the utility guy or the third string guy, they all have stories with people behind them. And I love those. I'm on board with those. Not as much, but I'm on board with those about 85 to 95% of the time. I almost put them up there. I don't because of what it is, and I'm not trying to draw hyperbole here. But when I see stories like that, it's like when I'm on and watching videos and I'm going from one video to another one or two times a day, but it's when the military people come home and they're reunited with their families. That's 100% of the time.
Yeah.
These stories with the families, sign me up. Because most of them, you understand the backgrounds and the heartache and they're part of it. And I love when the player is humble enough to completely go down that road of, I did this with them. I'm sharing these moments with them. Their preseason game, and you're seeing their mistakes or them having success. And then you hear the coach's remarks, and then you see the reaction of mom with baby or mom with the kids in the stands with the dad's jerseys on. Love it every single time.
So it's going to be interesting because you mentioned that. So last week, spoiler alert for you, sorry.
All right,
that's all right. There was a undrafted Canadian offensive lineman who won our hearts because during the karaoke rookie, you know, we can't call it hazing, but, you know, we know what it is. He sang proud, Lee Greenwood's proud to be an American, and then he rips off his pants and he's got a bald eagle Speedo, and everyone just like went bananas. And lo and behold, the guy gets in on field goal protect or PAT protect and like shreds his leg. So now we've got to move on. We're going to have to find another guy. But I'm with you completely. The only thing that started to get to me on that story was when they stopped taking away, I think it lost its luster when they would stop. There was nothing like the scene of the Turk coming through the hallways and telling you, hey, get your playbook. They need you. We've lost the threat. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's always that tension of, is it my number? Like, am I not going to get that phone call? Like, I think back, was it the Cowboys maybe when the guys are waiting for, like, phone call good, right, to, like, text bad. Like, when you have that tension of what is it going to be, like, that just locks me in every single time. But we've kind of lost that because it's become a little too, you know, we're protecting everyone. Like, we're making it a lesser TV product, but I guess people don't get their feelings hurt as much.
And one of the things, I don't know if it was last year or the last couple of years, last year being the Jets, you learn, you know, okay, there's that guy as well. Another thing I love. Hey, you're going, hey, coach wants to see you.
Yep.
And it's not the bad news. Hey, we appreciate you. We're keeping you.
The twist. Hey, just want to tell you what a great job you've done at camp.
Yep. As Hard Knocks ends, back to reality, and you're a week behind, and all of a sudden that guy's either going to end up on a practice squad, or he is released a week later because all of a sudden everyone else has their cutdowns and you see somebody else from another roster and you say, no, we're going to take that guy over. I noticed that the last couple of years where, hey, guys made camp.
That's a great point.
Made it, but then all of a sudden they're out 7 to 10 days later before the season opener.
Yeah, that's a great point. Maybe it's less about sensitivity and it's more about, well, transactions in the NFL now are just covered up to the minute. And so you can't really trick us because all we have to do is go and look up on our phone, did this guy make the team, and we'll find out. That's more than a fair point. I think the other thing that's interesting is I haven't made up my mind on Eberflus. And
I'm glad you went there. Thank you. Go ahead.
Last week, we find out the head coach has a head coach. So Saban was his college coach and recruited him, and he was like his captain at Toledo. And so Saban was a big part of last one, but I'm curious to see if I can formulate an opinion because I'm in the minority. I think Robert Saleh's defensive coordinator trapped in a head coach's body. I kind of feel the same way about Eberflus, but I am willing to give him a chance. But to me, it's like this is a huge part of formulating our opinions of what we think of these head coaches.
Bill O'Brien was God to me when they did him with the Texans.
The scene of when they were doing the media coaching and he like asked a hard question, the guy just gave a nothing answer. He's like, oh, beautiful. He was just like applauding all of that. It's like, and that's where we are in 2020. 23. I think we can hit the
imagine
music.
Imagine just really doing Rex present day with people who, you know, Rex in his language. Oh, my goodness. They do this? They've got to come. No, that's the way, you know, you have access, but we're not changing that. You know, certain words are still going to be used. And, you know, the F-bomb, you know, is in sports. It's in truck driving. It's in NASCAR. It's across the board.
No, there's no question on that. All right, for today's Tell Your Story, I go to my old pal, Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze was asked about how he felt about the late-game heroics and losing to Alabama in the fashion that he did. He gave us this, Jim. You know, Nick, he's great. I should have 4 wins against him. You know, I don't know if you know this, Steve, but we do have a scoreboard, and just because you have a lead in a game, like, that doesn't mean that you should be 4-0. But nonetheless, I always don't tell the story, tell your story. Also important to note, he was up 24-3 in one of those games that he was counting, and also they were down 18 points in the fourth quarter. So not really sure how you can act like the second half didn't happen. Steve, I appreciate it, buddy. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
That is Steve Lennox. I want to thank Tim Murray for joining the program. I want to thank you all for listening. For Dennis, for Steve, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.